27. Leia had heard it said that no captor could imprison a Jedi longer than the Jedi wished to be imprisoned, and she was beginning to understand how true that was. Even with Alima lying unconscious in the number two hold, with all four limbs shackled to cargo tie-downs, and two angry Nogri guarding her with T-10 stun blasters, Leia constantly found herself limping back with a new way to confine their prisoner. Her head and ankle were throbbing harder by the minute, and the last thing she wanted was to start fighting the Twi'lek again. Now Leia was holding a pair of L77-1000 series automatic stun cuffs from the security locker. Highly illegal, of course, but standard equipment aboard the Falcon. After checking the vital signs monitor on Alima's wrist to make sure the Twi'lek was still unconscious, Leia limped around behind her head. A sudden shudder ran down Alima's leku. Her eyes started to move beneath their lids, and she began to mumble in a frightened, high-pitched voice. At first, Leia thought the Twi'lek was crying out incoherently in a dream, but then she recognized a couple of Twi'leki words, those for night and herald, and realized Alima was actually talking in her sleep. Leia turned toward the intercom panel. 3PO, activate audio recording and hold two. As you wish, Princess, but I will need to leave Master Sebatine unattended for a few moments. As long as she's stable. Oh, she's quite stable. Her vital signs have been hovering close to zero for hours. A moment later, a red light activated on the intercom panel. Alima continued to mutter in her native language, something about the Night Herald, and her limbs began to jerk against their restraints. Leia glanced at the vitals monitor and saw that the Twi'lek had slipped into REM state. She motioned for the Nogri to cover her, then squatted on her haunches and clamped the stun cuffs on Alima's leku.
You're a hard woman, Leia Solo, Han said, stepping into the hold. I kinda like it.
Just being careful, Leia said. She set the power to maximum, then slowly rose and backed away. I doubt we could trick her twice.
Sure we could. Teamwork and treachery will beat youth and skill every time.
Alima isn't that young, and I'd say she beats us hands down in the treachery department.
Leia crossed the hold, emptied so Alima would have nothing to fling with the Force, and stopped at Han's side.
I thought you and June were plotting the next jump.
We've been trying.
Trying?
After repairing Alima's sabotage, they had emerged from the nebula to find themselves staring into the creamy heart of the galactic core, no more than 20 light years from the Galactic Alliance.
You'd said we'd be in the Rago run in one more jump.
We will. But every time we engage, the Navicomputer detects a mass fluctuation and shuts us down.
You're sure we're in the right place?
Worried about the possibility of an escape, Leia had insisted on supervising the security precautions while June filled in as co-pilot.
Jay didn't plot a bad jump?
Han shook his head.
It's definitely the same place we stopped on the way out. Rago is 5 light years ahead, and the star charts match what we stored in the Navicomputer. The only difference is the fluctuation.
Leia cast a nervous glance at Alima, who was continuing to mumble and thrash against her restraints, then asked,
could it be something coming down the run toward us?
Sure, if it had the mass of a battle fleet.
I see what you mean.
Leia studied Alima for another moment, then checked the Twi'lek's vital signs again. The monitor showed her deep in the REM state, but Leia remained suspicious. She withdrew a hypo of Trangaris from her jumpsuit pocket and pressed it to Alima's neck.
Whoa, she has a head wound.
She's young.
Leia hit the injector and held it down until the hypo stopped hissing.
A little coma won't hurt her.
Remind me not to get on your bad side, Han said.
Alima stopped thrashing and fell silent, and her vital signs dropped into the coma range. Leia thumped the Twi'lek on the eyelid just to be sure, then nodded when there was no reaction.
Let's go see if we're still having that mass fluctuation.
Han raised his brow.
You think she was...
I don't know,
Leia said, leaving instructions for the Nogri to blast the Twi'lek at the first sign of trouble. She left the hold. but it never hurts to be careful.
You don't think you're overdoing it?
Han, she sabotaged the Falcon and gave me a beating. And there's every chance my message didn't get through to Luke and Mara. If the Shadow had a stowaway aboard, or if Tahiri and the others are as far gone as Alima, we might be too late already.
Okay, there's that.
But, Han, you do understand how good Alima is. Leia stopped and turned him to face her. How lucky we were to knock her out.
Yeah, I understand.
There was barb in Han's tone.
But we've still got to keep her alive.
Even if it means she might escape and blow us all to stardust?
Yeah, even if it means that. Because what happened to her is probably happening to Jaina and Zek. And maybe Silgall can learn something from Alima to help us fix it.
That's why you're so worried about her? Leia was glad to hear the ruthlessness in his voice. To know that many decades of strife and danger had only made him shrewder and more stubborn. I was starting to think you'd gone soft.
She took Han's arm and started up the access corridor.
They lost so much during the war that it was impossible to believe they had come out stronger and happier. But they had emerged together, with a better understanding of each other, and a bond that had survived the deaths of a son, a close companion, and more friends than Leia could name. No matter how alarming this latest crisis, no matter how frightened they were for Jaina, they would face it together, and together they would do whatever was necessary to prevail. They reached the flight deck and found June staring at the navigator's display, so engrossed in star plotting and continuum calculations that he did not notice the Solo's presence. Leia could see what he was attempting to do, a broad-spectrum variable analysis with a 10-decimal accuracy parameter. With his eyes bulging and his cheek folds flared in frustration, it looked like he would blow a circuit before the navicomputer did. Leia brought her mouth close to Han's ear. I hope you've been backing up our navigation log.
You bet. I knew what you were thinking the minute we realized we were coming down on an abandoned planet.
Really?
Actually, Leia had been too busy trying to cold fire the repulsor engines to be thinking much of anything, but she wasn't going to admit that to Han. She didn't want him thinking June was a better co-pilot than she was.
Pretty sure of yourself, aren't you?
Yep.
Han flashed a cocky grin.
And I charted everything in sensor range on the way out.
The grin grew larger and cockier.
There might be another dozen stars inside the nebula.
A dozen?
Leia gasped. Then, not wanting Han to see just how well he really did know her, she presumed a more subdued tone.
So there might be another 5 or 6 habitable planets, plus a few moons if we're lucky.
5 or 6? There'll be a dozen, even 2.
The indignation in Han's voice faded quickly to concern.
But will anyone want to colonize there? It's still outside the Galactic Alliance, and it's not easy to reach.
The Ithorians will go right away. The world we came down on is perfect for them. And given how they feel about violence, it's about the only chance they have of getting around the Reclamation Act.
As long as the rehab conglomerates don't steal it out from under us again.
The Reclamation Act doesn't apply outside the Galactic Alliance. Besides, who's going to tell them?
Han nodded quietly at the navigator's station, where June was mumbling to himself and shaking his head in frustration. Finally, he banged the side of his fist into his temple and whined something in Sullustan that Leia did not quite catch.
We'll just have to keep him close, she whispered, until we've relocated the Ithorians.
Han let his chin drop. You really know how to spoil the moment.
He stepped on the flight deck and, peering at the display over June's shoulder, asked,
So what have...
June jumped out of his seat, the top of his head avoiding Han's chin only by virtue of his short stature, then spun to face them.
What are you doing sneaking up like that?
Han raised his hands.
Easy. I wasn't trying to give you a power surge.
Actually, Jay, we've been standing here talking for a couple of minutes. Leia leaned down to look at the display. It appears you've been hard at work.
June relaxed somewhat.
I've been running a full gravitational analysis per emergency troubleshooting procedure.
Come up with anything besides a headache?
Han asked.
Nothing that makes sense.
June returned to his seat and began to call up columns of stellar deflection observations.
Light is definitely being distorted at a steadily increasing rate, which means that either there's a very large, completely invisible rogue body dead ahead, or something big is about to come out of hyperspace.
Leia finished. Did you do a rate of change analysis?
Of course.
June typed a command and brought up a graph plotting angle of deflection against time.
According to this, space-time should be separating just about...
Leia's hair stood on end, and an iridescent flash lit the interior of the cockpit, and tiny snakes of static electricity began to drag race down her neural pathways. Proximity alarm blared to life. She hurled herself toward the co-pilot seat, but lost her footing and hung in midair for a moment, her eyes arcing with the brilliance of the silvery flash ahead, her stomach swirling inside her like water down a drain. Then Leia stumbled into the co-pilot's chair and found herself staring at the viewport at an immense, cylinder-studded crevice of durasteel whiteness. Her stomach rose toward her throat as Han put the Falcon into an emergency climb, and her ribs began to throb from an impact she did not remember receiving.
"What is it?"
Han yelled. Leia activated her tactical display and found the top half rapidly filling with transponder codes. It took a moment to find the Falcon's own code, surrounded as it was by others in a similar color.
I think it's a battle fleet,
Leia reported.
Whose?
A jagged line of familiar white ellipsoids appeared along the bottom edge of the viewport. Interspaced among them were about twice as many thin white arrows.
Hapen!
Leia did not bother to confirm her conclusion with a code search. She had seen the distinctive ships too many times, at Dathomir, Corellia, and even Coruscant, to need corroboration.
Those are Novas and Battle Dragons.
Yeah. What are they doing here?
Going to Lizzle,
June said.
What else?
The comm channel crackled to life, and a voice with a thick Hapen accent said,
"This is Hapi's Battle Dragon Kindle hailing Galactic Alliance Transport Longshot. Heave to and prepare for temporary impoundment."
Impoundment?
Han maintained his course.
Better let them know who we really are.
Leia was already reaching for the transponder controls.
Longshot, this is your last warning.
Battle Dragon Kindle.
Leia activated the Falcon's true transponder code.
This is Leia Organa Solo aboard the Millennium Falcon.
The Hapen voice grew more uncertain.
Millennium Falcon?
Yes. Sorry for the confusion, but we usually travel incognito. I'm sure you understand.
Of course.
Good. If you'll assign us a safe vector, we'll move through and let you be on your way.
I'm sorry, Princess. We have orders.
Then I suggest you let me speak with whomever issued them. Queen Mother Tenel Ka has been a frequent guest at my dinner table. I'm sure she would be unhappy to learn we were detained as a matter of procedure.
A new voice came over the comm channel.
Princess Leia Organa Solo?
He asked.
The mother of Jedi Jacen Solo.
That's correct.
Disturbed by the way the man had emphasized Jacen's last name, Leia reached out in the Force and was relieved to feel no sense that her son was anywhere in the fleet.
To whom do I have the honor of speaking?
Forgive me. I am Dukat Ailsen Grey, ninth cousin to the Queen Mother, and Duchda to Lady Al Grey of the Relifon Moons.
Thank you. I'll remember you to the Queen Mother the next time we meet.
You're very kind.
Gray's tone was polite, but doubtful. I'm certain we can trust you to hold our encounter here in the strictest confidence.
Of course. We wouldn't want to jeopardize the colony's reinforcements.
The comm fell silent.
Blast! You didn't have to say that.
Han groaned.
We know where they're going.
But not why. If a war is breaking out, we need to know.
Why? We won't be able to tell anyone if we're stuck in the belly of a battle dragon.
Gray's voice came over the comm again.
Actually, our mission is closer to peacekeeping than reinforcing.
Leia shot Han a smug grin, then said, "Yes, that's what I was given to understand. Do you need navigation data to the colony gateway?"
"That won't be necessary," Gray responded. "We have a course set to the Lizzle Nest, and your son assured us that someone would be waiting."
"Our son?" Leia interrupted.
"Yes."
Gray sounded confused.
"The Queen Mother's new consort. He was the one who, convinced her to intervene."
A loud smack sounded from the pilot's seat. Leia glanced over to find Han holding his palm to his brow.
"You think you know him," Han said, shaking his head. "And then he tries to start a war."